Sparkle Stories, and By Thistle by Thimble. What's So? There was once upon a time a squire who was assistant to an old but legendary knight named Sir Soplicate. His name was spread throughout many lands as a knight who won battles with his words more often than his sword. Though few had ever seen him actually fight, some accused him of being a magician or wizard. Others said he had a luck of a fool, but all agreed that he was a force to be reckoned with on the battlefield. His reputation endured, even when he became an old man. He was considered one of the most honorable knights around, and it was said he seldom unsheathed his sword or raised his lance. He was also famous for being kind and generous and always ready to lend a helpful hand to those in need. In short, he was celebrated by the masses and feared by the few whom he faced in conflict. But this is not a story about Sir Soplicate, but a story about his squire, young Thomas Aisling. For as long as he could remember, Thomas had always wanted to be a knight. He was lucky enough to have the family background and the timing to be accepted as a page to a different knight who he served for a number of years. Then, when he was old enough, he became squire to Sir Soplicate. When he became squire, he thought he understood fully what it was to be a knight. He believed it to be an honorable station filled with adventure and fame and, indeed, riches. He had heard of knights who fought dangerous foes and won great piles of money. He had also heard of knights who were celebrated every time they returned from battle. Parades and parties were thrown in their honor, and royalty gave them their heart's desire. Thomas knew that being a knight was not easy. He knew that one needed to be brave and strong and daring. He knew that there was risk and danger. But when he imagined the honor and glory, it all seemed worth it. When he became squire to Sir Soplicate, he was expecting a certain kind of service and training, but soon realized that being a squire was something entirely different. It seemed to young Thomas that Sir Soplicate spent very little time, if any, going on dangerous voyages and rescuing prisoners and slaying wicked warriors from other lands. Instead, Sir Soplicate seemed to be more interested in casual visits to the outlying farms and hovels. He would stop by all the miserable huts that dotted the landscape to inquire if they needed any help or counsel. The people within would gratefully accept food and assistance, and young Thomas would find himself plowing or gathering wood or carting buckets of water. There was one day when he and Sir Soplicate spent an entire day mending a fence to a chicken coop. The woman who owned the chickens was ill and could not mend it herself. Thomas did actually enjoy the work that day, but he kept asking himself, "Is this really all there is to being a squire and a knight? What honor lives in mending fences?" And then, when he met other squires and heard that they were learning fighting maneuvers and how to use new weapons, he fully realized that his training was hardly standard for a proper squire. But he was loyal to his knight and asked no questions. He did what he was told and he never complained. Secretly, however, he longed for the day his work with Sir Soplicate would be over and he could become the knight he knew he could be. After a few years of hard work, Thomas's dream came true. Sir Soplicate saw him to be a worthy young man and recommended him to the king. It was a proud day when Thomas knelt before the king and was dubbed Sir Aisling, knight to the king. When Thomas left the service of Sir Soplicate, the old knight retired to country life. He moved into his small home on a hill to spend the rest of his days enjoying the songs of birds and the beauty of sunsets. Thomas, meanwhile, joined in with the other king's knights, with dreams of joining them on exciting adventures and quests to foreign lands. As soon as he met a few of them, however, he was shocked to see that they were anything but honorable and noble folk like his former master. These knights were greedy and spoke nothing of saving people or fighting the good fight. They wanted only money, it seemed, and did not care how they got it. He soon learned that they came by riches most often through stealing them from passing travelers or bribing local nobles. Thomas quickly decided he wanted nothing of it and left the other knights to go out on his own. He had his own horse, he had his knight's sword, and a simple armor, but he no longer had lodgings or food. This did not deter him, however, and he proudly trotted into the countryside. He had pictures in his head of the country people happily giving him a bed for the night and a full plate of food for dinner or breakfast. As he arrived in the first hamlet of houses, he recognized some of the young men whom he had met while he was a squire. He saw that two of them were in an argument with each other, and it looked like it was getting heated. He saw an opportunity for himself and proudly approached. The two young men paused in their argument to regard the knight approaching on his horse. They bowed politely as Thomas dismounted and stood before them. "There seems to be trouble here. Perhaps I can be of assistance," he said in his mightiest voice. The young men all looked at each other for a moment and then back at Thomas. "This is none of your concern," said one with a stony face. "Oh, but it is," said Thomas, standing extra tall. "I do not wish to see things get out of hand." "We don't need your meddling," said another, stepping forward. "You want to help someone? Then go mend old Staveley's pig pen, but leave us be." Then the young men looked over at him, huffed a little, and walked off. Thomas felt foolish and just stood there trying to look unaffected by their words. Then he mounted his horse again and thought about what to do. He wondered why they didn't want his help. Obviously he was a knight and would be able to quell a simple argument. And yet they waved him away. What was wrong with them, he wondered. He continued on to another hamlet, which had a larger home in front. The house was strong and built of hewn logs, which was a mark of wealth in those days. Thomas thought he would pay a visit to the house like his master used to do. He wondered as he got off his horse if perhaps the people of the house might invite him to dinner and maybe have some hay for his horse. As he approached the house, however, the door flew open and one of the king's knights stormed out. The man was carrying a small bag of something that clinked as he walked. When the king's knight looked up and saw Thomas, he smiled and waved.
"This house is mine," he said with a big voice. "You'll have to find your own. I've already taken my due."
The knight then laughed and held up the bag. Then, as the knight passed him, Thomas could see an older man and woman and perhaps their child standing in the doorway. They looked a little sad and defeated. Thomas then realized that the king's knight probably stole whatever was in that bag, and this made him angry. Thomas told himself that it was time to stand for what was good and honorable and challenge this fallen knight. "Give that back," he called. "That is not yours." The king's knight stopped walking and slowly turned around.
"Are you talking to me?" he asked with a piercing look.
"I am," said Thomas. Then he thought this would be a good time to state his motto that he had been working on, and he looked up to the sky and called out, "In the name of truth, beauty, and all that is honorable, I challenge you to..." But Thomas did not finish stating his motto, for he suddenly found himself lying on the ground. While Thomas was looking up to the heavens, the king's knight had struck him down. Thomas couldn't believe it. This was against all codes of conduct. A knight never struck another unawares. Thomas's head hurt as he looked up.
"There's your truth, beauty, and all that's honorable," said the king's knight over him.
Then Thomas watched as the knight marched off, and he considered standing and calling after him again, but his head hurt enough that he decided to stay lying down. He had hoped that the people of the house would be grateful that he at least challenged the knight, but he was surprised to hear the door close behind him. He struggled to turn around to look, and indeed, the door to the house was closed, and the people were obviously inside. He was left there alone. Thomas lay back down on the wet, muddy ground. He looked up at the sky and wondered to himself, what is the point of being a knight? The people did not want his help, and instead turned him away or closed their doors to him. And the other knights he met were all scoundrels. Why would he want to be associated with such people? In that moment, Thomas made a decision. He no longer wanted to be a knight. He resolved to go back to the king and hand in his sword. He did not want to hold a position that had, as far as he could tell, no use in the world. He would become a smith or a joiner or maybe even a farmer, something else. In time, he eased himself up and stumbled over to his horse. He mounted it and then headed back toward the king's castle. He went slowly as his head still hurt, but mostly because his heart hurt. To be a knight had been his dream for so long, and now it was all over. Thomas came to the edge of a long, rocky hill and looked out over the landscape. It was beautiful. He could see the castle in the distance and the many small houses that surrounded it. Then he saw a wisp of smoke nearby and realized it was coming from the house of his former master, Sir Soplicate. Something warmed inside Thomas's chest as he thought of the old knight. He was a good man, an honest man, an honorable man, much different than all the other knights he had met. Thomas decided he owed it to his former master to tell him his decision to quit being a knight. Besides, the thought of seeing him again soothed him and gave him strength. He arrived at the small house to see Sir Soplicate sitting in front by a fire in a small outdoor stone hearth. He was smiling, and he waved to him. Thomas got off his horse and walked over, so very glad to see his teacher again.
"Hello, Sir Aisling. What a pleasure to receive a visit from a king's knight," said the old man with a twinkling in his eye.
"You can call me Thomas, Sir Soplicate, for I am no longer a knight. At least, I shan't soon enough." The old man was silent for a moment and motioned for Thomas to sit. Then he looked deeply into his former squire's eyes as Thomas told him everything, from the scandalous behavior of the king's knights to the young men arguing to being struck down in front of the people he was trying to protect. Sir Soplicate listened quietly, with compassionate eyes, and when Thomas was finished, he was quiet for a while longer. And then he spoke.
"And so then, what did you think being a knight would be?"
Thomas was at first surprised by the question, but then he answered truthfully. "I saw myself going on adventures and fighting battles to protect the weak, rescuing people in danger and bringing glory and honor to the king."
Said Sir Soplicate. "And in all the years you served me, did I do any of those things?"
"Well," said Thomas quietly, "not exactly."
Said Sir Soplicate again. "And so where did you get this picture of what it would be like to be a knight?"
"I don't know," said Thomas. "I guess I heard some things, and then, well, I guess I made it up."
Said Sir Soplicate. "Did you ever wonder why I was known for being the most honorable knight in this part of the world?"
"Yes," said Thomas eagerly, for this had always been a question for him. "I never understood why someone who just helped mend fences and gave people bread could be considered honorable."
"It's quite simple," said Sir Soplicate. "I always see what is so."
"What is so?" asked Thomas, confused.
"Yes," answered Sir Soplicate. "What is so? What is actually in front of me? No dreams, no stories, nothing made up or fancied, only what is really there. That is power, Sir Aisling. That is real honor."
"Oh, I'm not going to be a knight anymore."
"Before you make your decision," interrupted Sir Soplicate, "know that the world is more in need of knights now than it ever was. It is a very, very important position, an honorable position that will indeed bring you great honor if you take your head out of the clouds and see what is so. Look around you, Sir Aisling. These people don't need heroes or warriors. They need bread. They need care when they are sick. They need their doors mended, their boots repaired, and they need someone who sees them. Someone who hears them. That is what it is to be a knight."
Thomas was amazed. Now he understood. Now he understood why Sir Soplicate did what he did all those years. He suddenly was washed with a new respect and honor for his old teacher.
"Those men who go about robbing in the name of the king are not knights. They are thieves. That is all they have to offer. A knight is there to serve, and true service is never for money. It is never for fame or parades or even thanks. True service is quiet and small. It is done for itself, and believe me, that is what it is to feel honorable."
Thomas didn't know what to say. He sat quietly looking at the fire for a long while, sipping the soup Sir Soplicate had cooked for his dinner. In time, the old man led his former squire to his former sleeping quarters, and Thomas slept deeply and soundly all night long. In the morning, he was filled with a freshness, an excitement, and a sense of possibility that he hadn't ever felt before. He was ready to serve. He was ready to be a knight. He thanked Sir Soplicate and mounted his horse. He waved goodbye and headed back to the hamlet he had passed through before. This time, though, he did not go looking for glory. He did not go looking for thanks. He went looking for old Staveley's pigpen, for he understood that it needed mending. And when he came to the man's door, Staveley first regarded him with suspicion and resistance, but Thomas stood upright and said, "Good morning, Staveley. I am Sir Aisley. I've come to fix your pigpen. If you have a winch I could borrow, I'll get to work on that right now." Staveley was still for a moment, looking Thomas up and down, and then a twinkle came to his eye, and he said,
"Winch is out back. I'll meet you there."
And Thomas turned to meet the old man out back, feeling something surprising. Thomas felt honor.
This has been an original story by Sparkle Stories of SparkleStories.com. Copyright 2012. All rights reserved. We hope you enjoyed it.